Rashi in his commentary on the opening pasuk quotes from the Medrash, "Vayetzi Yaakov Be'er-Sheva that Yitzias Tzadik Min Amokam Oisei Roshem." It calls man that a tzadik is in a community. It has an effect on all of the people in the community, even the people who don't see him every day, and the people who don't speak to him. It has effect on everyone. When the tzadik leaves the community, then it's a letdown to the whole community. His hashpah will be missing. When you decide, when you get married and you decide where you want to live, so you should live in a community where there's a tzaddik, so there'll be a hashpah of the tzaddik on the whole area. The Gemara in Brachas comments on the second pasuk, Yankif was mispalel arvis. There's a problem here that the Pnei Yeshua points out on Brachas. That the way the pasuk reads, it says, "Vayivka b'mochem hidavim, ein mochem el hakadosh baruch hu who mekamim shalolam, vayolan sham kibo hashemesh." And then, after he davened ma'ariv, then the sun set, and then he had to sleep over there. What do you mean? He davened ma'ariv before the shkia. That's what it sounds like. Davened ma'ariv before the shkia. See, if you all like Reb Yudah, that the zman of mincha is up until plaga mincha, and after the plaga mincha starts the zman of ma'ariv. So the pasuk fits in well, but if you hold like the chachamim that the zman of mincha is up until the shkia, and after the shkia starts the zman of ma'ariv, so how come he was davening ma'ariv before the shkia? So the Pnei Yeshua comes up with a whopper of a chiddush. He admits that it's against all the rishonim, but he says, "What can I do?" He thinks maybe it's correct. Lule divrei harishonim, he would have said like that, that you could daven ma'ariv after you daven mincha right away. Let's say you'll daven mincha gedoyla. So you daven, what time is Chatzos these days? I don't know. I lost track already. Traveling around so much. 11:45 or something. So let's say 11:45 is already half an hour after Chatzos. So you daven mincha gedolah, 11:45. So he suggests that you can daven ma'ariv right away. Who says that there's an... how did the Rishonim get this idea? That after the Zman of Mincha ends, then the Zman of Ma'ariv begins. He says, Ma'ariv is keneged, the Gemara says, Ma'ariv is keneged haktores emurim. When do you start being makter the emurim? Right after you makter the Talmud Shal Bein Abay. You should be able to daven Ma'ariv after the Talmud Shal Shachar also. But you want to, it's keneged haktores emurim of both the Talmud Shal Shachar and the Talmud Shal Bein Abay. So after you daven Mincha, so you can do the haktores emurim right away. In fact, the Gemara says it's preferable. The Gemara says, Chaviva mitzvah b'shaito, that if when you bring the Musafim on Shabbos, theoretically you can really save the Haktoris Emurim till after Havdalah, and you won't have to be Mechal Shabbos by doing Havara and the Emurim. You can wait till after Havdalah and then burn your Emurim. But because we have a concept, Chaviva mitzvah b'shaito, so we allow you and we encourage you to burn the Emurim on Shabbos. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua Taina. So why should you wait to Dab Mar, which is Mechuvi Keneged Haktoris Emurim, till after the Shkia? If you're ready, daven mincha 12:15. So right after you finish mincha, why can't you daven ma'ariv? Shmon Esra ma'ariv. You can't say kriya shma with the brachas. Kriya shma has to be b'shach b'chol b'kamecha. B'zman sh'bnei adam holchem lishon. B'zman sh'bnei adam shochrim. Either when people are going to sleep or when people are sleeping. Aplekus hatanoim and first mishnah brachas. So kriya shma with the brachas is only b'zman sh'bnei adam shochrim. B'shach b'chol. But b'shmon Esra ma'ariv, Yankov Avinu was not misakin the Brichas Kriyashma, he was misakin the Tefillah of Ma'ariv. So the Tefillah of Ma'ariv, that's what he's Ma'ariv. You should be able to daven Ma'ariv right after Mincha. But that's not the accepted, he admits himself that nobody says like that. All the Rishonim say against what he says. All the Rishonim assume that the Zman of Ma'ariv begins after the Sof Zman of Mincha, whatever the Sof of Zman of Mincha is. According to Rabbi Yudah, the end of the Zman of Mincha is Plaga Mincha, means an hour and a quarter before Shkia. Before the end of the day, so then Ma'ariv begins right after the Zman of Mincha is up. And according to the Chachamim, that the Zman of Mincha is up until Shkia, so Ma'ariv begins after the Shkia. So this is his taina. Why doesn't anybody consider this possible? Lunu. There always were communities years ago. Shomaz Adashin quotes, there were communities where they used to daven Mincha 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they daven Ma'ariv right away. The government center in Manhattan, there are places where they daven mincha. They daven ma'ariv right away, way before the plaga mincha. Now 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock is after the plaga mincha. Okay, but there are places where they daven ma'ariv early. So all the poskim say it's not right. So Rabbi Yeshua says, what's so bad about it? It's not so bad. It's against all the Rishonim. Then Rashi has a famous comment from the Gemara in Chulin. Vayikach me'avne hamokem. The pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu took several stones, and then it says Vayikach esaven ashesomer ashoisav. When he woke up in the morning, he took the stone that was under his head. So how can it be? But it says Vayikach me'avne hamokem. There were a lot of stones. So the Gemara understands that there were many stones, and all the hischilu havana meriva zu, the stones were arguing with each other. Each one argued alay anich tzadik es roshom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the nest to occur, and all the stones blended in with each other. And when he woke up in the morning, there was only one stone. We don't fully understand what the need for the nest was, what it means, but it's a little bit we understand. The Mesillas Yesharim has in the Hakdamah to his Sefer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world to serve the Tzaddik in his fulfillment of the mitzvahs. So each one of the stones was yearning to have its purpose of creation fulfilled. Each man wanted a lion near Tzadikas Rosha. Stones are not B'nai Das, it's a diamond. It's not even a Balchai. But in a certain sense, this is a tachlis of the whole Bria, that everything in the world was created in order to serve man. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that all the stones served the Tzadik. When we, Mesillas Yesharim quotes in Medrash, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Rishon, he showed him around Gan Eden, he showed him all the beautiful trees, and the whole world is so lovely, and he told them, the pasuk in Koheles, Re'eis kol ma'aseh hu elokim. That's how the pasuk begins. So the Medrash says, on that pasuk, see all the beautiful things that I created, and keep in mind that if you'll do mitzvahs, you will have accomplished that the creation of the world was of value, was worth it. And if you do averis, then you'll just be mekalkel the whole world. And my whole, the tircha that the Baruch Shalom went to create the whole world, will be a waste. So that's what the kavanah of this medrash is as well. That's where Avelvela quotes a Avelvela has in his sefer on the opening psukim in Chumash, beginning of Bereishis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Chava as a Eza Kenegdo. What does it mean, an Eza Kenegdo? So he says, he quotes the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis, writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the purpose of the whole Bria was to serve the Tzaddik. If there would be one Tzaddik in the whole wide world, so you need a bakery that they should make chalas, bake bread for the Tzaddik. You need a tuna fish factory, they should make tuna fish. You should have what to eat. You need a butcher, they should make flesh. You need someone, a farmer to make wine. Okay, you need someone to grow fruits and vegetables. You need someone who should manufacture clothing and everything. Yeah, you need a whole world full of billions and billions of people. But the whole tachlis of the world sometimes is only for one tzaddik. So all of these people are Ezer, they help out the one tzaddik. And Kenegdo, the tzaddik needs a little a companionship. So it could also be sometimes that even if the other people don't make food for the tzaddik and they don't make clothing for the tzaddik, but he needs a little companionship. He's just going to sit all by himself and go out of his mind. But the Rabbanu Shalom created the whole world with all the people, with all the people who do different jobs. Some of them are Ezer, some of them are Kenegdo of the one tzaddik. And then the Rav Elbala quotes, the Rambam gives a moshul in his Pirush HaMishnayis that an Arab sheik built a palace in the desert and he used to have women dancing there, a nightclub. And he used to throw parties all the time. And the whole thing was a waste. And then once Chacham was traveling in the desert and he was exhausted, so he took a nap in the shade of this palace. Palace is very tall, and he was exhausted. He was hot and tired and thirsty. So he relaxed and he took a nap in the shade of this palace. So the whole tachlis of the palace that was dating for a few hundred years, the whole tachlis was accomplished. Nope, China had a purpose in the world. The tzaddik rested in the shade of this palace. And the same is true everything in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees to it that all the different things are developed in the world. Telephones, that people should be able to learn Mishnayis by tuning into telephone. And tapes, that people can learn Shiurim on tapes. And the internet, you can download all the Shiurim from the YU website and so on and so forth. Everything that was created in the world, and the trains, that people can travel to learn, people can travel to cars, automobiles, in order to get the Beis Medrash on time, in order to get the davening on time. All the things that the Rebbeinu Shlom created, all the things that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave the Seichel to people that they should develop in the world, everything is to serve the tzaddik. That's how Rav Elbel interprets the Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara has an agada to that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge each one of the nations individually, and is going to ask them, going to ask the Romans and the Greeks and the Persians and so on, what did you do? What did you do in the world? So each one's going to say, we made highways, and the highways we made were in order that the Talmid HaChacham should be able to travel to the yeshivas. And we made bridges. They say, why do you make the bridges? In order that the Talmid HaChacham should be able to travel from one city to the other. So the Baruch Shalom says, you're a bunch of liars. The Baruch Shalom is going to say that all the reward is going to come to those who learn Torah and those who are metapel and those who are misayeya for learning Torah. So all the Yomis Olam, when they hear that, so each one is going to tell a lie that everything that we did, we made malls, shopping malls, and all the Talmid HaChacham shouldn't have to waste so much time going shopping. They should be able to do all the shopping in one sentence and so on. So the Baruch Shalom is going to say, you're a bunch of liars, and he's going to punish them. So it's a pella. How can it be? On the Yom Adin Lossi Lovai. All of the Yom HaSalam are going to be such liars, they don't realize that they're going to be punished. Rav Elbel gave this interpretation. That is really true. That's not what they intended, but that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam had all of these things developed. The whole world was created as an Eisa Kinegda, not just Chava. Everything in the world was created to serve the Tzaddik. Like over here, all the stones wanted to participate in serving the Tzaddik. Everything in the world wants to participate in Avodas Hashem. That's the whole tachlis of the whole creation, is to serve in Avodas Hashem. So the Yom HaSalam will say, we made highways and we made the internet and we made the bridges and everything that they did. And the Ribbono Shel Olam's plan of things is to serve Bnei Yisrael that they should learn Torah. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to say, but that wasn't what motivated you to do it. That's what I had in mind. That's not what you had in mind. So they quote this pshat from Rav Elbel Soloveitchik. Then they quote the Rav Baruch Be'er said, Rav Baruch Be'er was the Talmud of Rav Chaim. So Rav Elbel Soloveitchik was the Rebbe's son. So he said, the Rebbe's son's pshat is certainly correct, Rav Elbel's pshat is certainly correct, but he still finds it chutzpedik that the Yom HaSoelim should advance such a taina on the Yom HaDin. Still finds it hard to believe that they're going to taina such a taina that they deserve reward, even though their intention was they made bridges and they made highways in order to levy taxes, in order to make people pay for the use of the bridge, in order to get rich, not in order to cover the expenses of the construction of the bridge. And they made all these walls in order to make money. Shopping malls, they made all the things for their own purposes. They didn't do it for Bnei Yisrael. But because in the Ribbono Shel Olam scheme of things, he planned that everything should turn out to be L'tovos Bnei Yisrael learning Torah. So that's why they should have a taina that they should deserve reward. So Rav Baruch Be'er thought that it's still a chutzpah. He said, Mistam is the correct pshat in the Gemara. Otherwise, you don't know any pshat in the Gemara. Mistam is the correct pshat in the Gemara, but it's very strange. Anyway, that's what the Mesillas Yesharim emphasizes in the introduction to his sefer. Yaakov Avinu has a dream with the malachim going up and going down. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, this represents the malachim in Chutz Lartz and the malachim in Eretz Yisrael, two different malachim. Ki malachu b'tzavel chushmocha b'chol derafecha, there's more hashgacha pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz Lartz. So that's why when Yaakov Avinu is about to come near the border, exactly why was this near the border? Was it according to the tradition, Ein Zekim Beis Alekim is Eshar HaShemayim? He was in Yerushalayim. He was sleeping on the Makam HaMikdosh. How was that near the border? How was that near the border? So some of Hashem said because it was going to be a Kvitzas HaDerech, that's why it was going to be near the border. Whatever, that's how the Medrash understands that the Malachi Chutzlor, Malachi Aretzel going back to heaven, and Malachi Chutzlor are coming now. Different Malachim. We have the same thing on Leil Shabbos. We say Shalom Aleichem, then at the end we say Tzeischem L'Shalom, Malachi HaShalom. So what do you mean? We're telling them goodbye. They just came. How come we tell them goodbye? So some say because we don't know when the Malachim are going to leave. So we say, whenever you leave, Tzeischem L'Shalom. And others say, I remember at the funeral of Rav Henkin, they mentioned this, that every Friday night, when he was an old man, every Friday night he used to have a minyan in his home. And every single week he would say the same comment to the people as they went home. He said, when you say Shalom Aleichem, you say Tzeischem L'Shalom, don't have in mind the Shabbos Digam Malachim. You say Tzeischem L'Shalom to the Malachim of the weekdays. Like over here, different set of Malachim. We have more Hashgacha Pratis on Shabbos than we have on the weekdays. So that's why we need a different set of Malachim. This is our tradition. Our tradition has it that the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael have more Hashgacha Pratis than the Jews who live in Chutz Lartz. That's what the Gemara quotes in the end of Ksubis, that Kol Ador B'chutz Lartz Kilo Ein Lo Eloka. What do you mean Kilo Ein Lo Eloka? He said there's less Hashgacha Pratis. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk that David HaMelech says Ki Gerushine Hayom Hiztapech B'Nachlas Hashem Leim Aleich Avod Lehim Acherim. as if you only worship God in Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz, you don't worship the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does that mean? He says, there's less Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz La'aretz. That's why some Achronim write that the Ramban considered as one of the mitzvahs that every Jew has to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam quotes all the dinim, that all Jews have to live in Eretz Yisrael, but he never counted it as one of the Ramach mitzvahs Aseh. So the Mefarshim are troubled with this. That's the Ramban's taina. Why didn't the Rambam count it as a mitzvah? Some Achronim want to say that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only the Rabbanim. It's very difficult. The Gemara places so much emphasis on, learn that from Pesukim all over Tanakh, how can it be that it's only the Rabbanim? So most of the Achronim, that's what they... some of the Achronim have like that. But the Rambam holds that it's only the Rabbanim. Then Sagdola quotes like that. It's only the Rambam Shita, it's only the Rabban. But the Pashtus is that the Rambam also agrees that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah min haTorah. So the Achronim all have the same style of a Teretz. And it must be that the Rambam holds that it's subsumed under a different mitzvah. So each one of the Achronim gives a different suggestion. Which other mitzvah is this? Some say the mitzvah is Avos Sidbo. You have to try to be as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as possible. So those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael have more Hashgacha Pratis than those who live in Chutz La'aretz. So that's why living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah min haTorah, but it's already included in the mitzvah of Avos Sidbur. Others say it's included in other mitzvahs, different suggestions. Anyway, that's one version that the Medrash has, that the Malachim, all the Miyoridim are two sets of Malachim. The Malachim from Eretz Yisrael are going back to heaven, going back to the dormitory. And a new set of Malachim are going to take care of Yaakov Avinu when he goes into Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara has a different suggestion on the pasuk. The same malachim who went up are coming down. Malach alikim olim liyordim bo. It's not that it's two different sets of malachim. Malach Eretz Yisrael going back to the dormitory. The malachim's dormitory. Malach Chutz La'aretz coming down. The same malachim went up to heaven and they came down in order to see the bus diyuknu shalayan kabavinus chakuk al kisei hakovod. That's the pasuk in Yeshaya says that the kisei hakovod has arba upon him, has four faces engraved on it. You have the mus Arye Kruv Nesher and Odom. And the Odom is the mus. That's how the Gemara has a tradition, is the mus Diyuknu Shal Yankev Avin. So they went up to heaven to see the mus Diyuknu Shal Yankev Avin on the Kisei HaKovod. And then they come down, and the Medrash, the Gemara says in Chulin, the Medrash has this as well, Bikshu Lahargoy. They wanted to kill Yankev Avin. It means a man with such, Rav Chaim Valojin has suggested Pshat in his Nefesh HaChaim. An individual with such tremendous potential, the Mus Diyukna Chakuk Al Kisei HaKovod, shows what his potential was. The theoretical potential that he had. Such great potential and he's sleeping. A man like that should be doing more Avodas Hashem. He shouldn't sleep so much. So the Gemara says, and the Medrash has a big Shalahargo, the Malachim came down, and they looked at Yankov Avinu, and he felt that he doesn't compare. The Yankov Avinu down on the ground didn't compare to the Demus Diyukno in heaven above, that he did not live up to his full potential. So that's why Bikshu Lahargo, he wasn't fulfilling his mission in life. Vini Hashem Nitzav Olav. So the Medrash has two interpretations, Machlek, whether Olav means on top of the Sulam, or Olav means on top of Yankov Avinu. So Rashi quotes, Hashem Nitzav Olav on Yankov Avinu L'shamra, to protect the Yankov Avinu, that he didn't allow the Malachim to kill the Yankov. That's Rav Chaim Elojana says that every person has a potential, and every person has to, we don't all have the same potential, and every person has to try to develop his potential to the maximum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yankov Avinu, Faratz the Yoma Vakedma Vitzafoyno Venegba, etc. So the Gemara has a comment in Masechet Shabbos. The Torah Tamima quotes it. That the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Os Tesanag al Hashem, if a person will observe Oinik Shabbos, to us of the Shabbos Sunday, Kedosh Hashem Mechubod, so the reward will be Os Tesanag al Hashem, HaChalticha Nachlas Yankiv Avicha. What is Nachlas Yankiv Avicha? So the Gemara comments, Lo Kenachlas Avram, Velo Kenachlas Yitzchak, Elo Kenachlas Yankiv. Avram Avinu was given one section of Eretz Yisrael. This land. Yitzchak Avinu, when he went down to Gror, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, apparently he promised to give Yitzchak Avinu more, a bigger share in Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Gemara understands the Pshat in the Pasuk. Avram was promised Oretz Hazos, and Yitzchak was promised Haaretz Yisrael. And then Yaakov Avinu was promised a bigger share of Eretz Yisrael. we know are supposed to be the borders of Eretz Yisrael that are described in the Chumash, the end of Chumash Bamidbar. That's what was described, that was what was promised to Yaakov Avinu. Farat the Yom of a Kedma of a Tzafon of an Egbar. So that's what the Gemara says, that as a reward for being Ma'anikas HaShabbos, the person will get Nachla Balim Mitzor. I don't know. I don't know. How does it? What exactly was added to Yitzchak? What was added to Yankov? I don't know. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yankov Avinu Hena Nochi Imoch, he's going to give him, even though he's going to be in Chutz Lor, he's going to give him a special Hashgacha Pratis. We assume there's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz Lor, but there's more Hashgacha Pratis for Bnei Yisrael in Chutz Lor than there is for the Umas Oilam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Hena Nochi Imoch, I will give you a special Hashgacha Pratis. This is the Haftacha to all of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says the history of the Jewish people is always Lamayla Men HaTeva. It doesn't really make sense. The whole history of the Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lo'aretz never makes any sense. So this is Lamayla Men HaTeva. This was due to the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to each one of the others. So Yaakov Avinu wakes up in the morning, and then he takes a neder that he's going to give Maisa Ksofen. Kol ha-shatitan li aser a-asrenu loch. Maisa Ksofen is, does never appears in the Gemara, this idea of Maisa Ksofen, to donate Maisa Ksofen to Tzedakah. The Sifrei has a comment on the Pasuk, aser ti ases kol tvaz arecha yetze atzod shana shana, as in Parshas Re'eh. So the Sifrei says, why does it say twice aser ti aser? So if it would have only been written once to be Mafrish Maisers, it referred to Maiser Rishon on whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael, Dogen Pirish Vitz. And now that it says twice, Aser Ti Aser, so it's a reboot that refers also to Maiser Ksofen. Whatever money a person earns in the course of the year, he should give 1/10 to the Lomdei Torah. That's the Loshon of the Sifrei. So Tesis in the first Perek in Tainis quotes this from the Sifrei. Nadi Behuda has a little tshuva about Maiser Ksofen. He asked them, how long do you have to give your Maisa Ksofen? You have to give every day, whatever money you earn that day. Let's say you get your paycheck at the end of 2 weeks. Let's say you get your paycheck at the end of the month. So you have to give right away? At the end of every 2 weeks, you have to give Maisa Ksofen? Or you make out checks in the course of the year, in the course of 10 years. Every 10 years you should see to it. Is there any shear that you have to give Maisa Ksofen within a certain amount of time? So that's what the Nadi Behuda starts off his tshuva by saying, he doesn't enjoy writing tshuvas with no sources in the Gemara. There's nothing to base anything on. Everything is just svaras hakeres, both svaras. Svaras hakeres, svaras that come from the belly. So he says, what is there to say over here? We don't know what this whole Maisa Ksofen is all about. It's not discussed at all in the Gemara. In fact, you look in the Yeridei, on the first page in Hilchas Tzedakah, so the Pesachei Tshuva quotes a big machlokes, a three-way machlekes regarding the nature of Maisa Ksofen. Some Rishonim hold that Maisa Ksofen is a real drasha gemur deraisa. The Sifrei learned it up in the Ribay Aser Te Aser Keif Aloshen. So it's marbe Maisa Ksofen, so it's a din deraisa. Others say that it's obviously only an asmachta. There's so many drashas in the Sifrei that Tesis says that clearly asmachta is midirabbanan. So most of the poskim have rejected this. Derived in the Sefer Kosev Shom in the Hasokas on the Balamor. In the end of Chulin, the rabbi seems to hold that Maisa Ksofen is really their rice. And it's a din of Maisa Oni, so you're only Yotze if you give it to Aniyim. If you give it to yeshivas or to hospitals, you're not Yotze. Just like Maisa Oni, he's only Laniyim, so he thinks that Maisa Ksofen is only Laniyim. But most of them, the majority of the poskim don't accept that opinion that Maisa Ksofen is their rice. So then there's further machlokes. Is it the Rabbanan? Or maybe it's only a Midas Chasidus, maybe it's only a Minik type. That's what some of the poskim write. Rav Meir Arik writes in his Tshuvas, Imre Yosher, he writes that the first time a person gives Maisa Ksofen, the person should say Bli Neder, so it won't be binding. Like the Beis Yosef says, the first time a person washes until it's Yadayim to the wrist, he says, of course, Machlek is Rashi and Tosfos, how far are you supposed to wash until it's Yadayim? So the Gemara says in Perek Kol HaBasar, up until the joint. Which joint? The Gemara says, till there, over there. So it doesn't help. The Amoraim was showing the students, but we don't have the picture. Where's till there? So Rashi says till there, till the knuckles. You have to wash till the knuckles. Rashi says till the wrist. Excuse me. Rashi says till the wrist. And Tosis says till the knuckles. So Mikra Din, we really pass like Tosfos. You only have to wash till the knuckles, but we have so much water. What's the problem? So you may as well be machma like Rashi. So you pour the water till the wrist. But on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'av, when Rechit says one of the Chamisha Inuim, you're not allowed to wash. So you're only allowed to wash to the extent that it's absolutely necessary. So then Nikra, then we follow Tosfos Shita. So you only wash till the knuckles. So if Yosef is bothered, he raises a problem. But all year long, the person is machmer like Rashi to wash till the wrist. So what's he going to do on it? Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'av is going to be in violation of his Midas Chasidus of being Chayshish for Rashi Shita. So the Beis Yosef writes that the first time in your life, I guess within the year before your bar mitzvah, mufla samach liish nedar of nevdokim. If he takes a nether, it's binding. And minik tov is binding mitam and nether. So any minhagim that a person takes before a year before his bar mitzvah, so those bechlam not binding. A cotton shenadar is not binding. After bar mitzvah, a year before bar mitzvah, that's mufla samach liish nedar of nevdar ma binding. So within a year before bas mitzvah, within a year before bar mitzvah, the first time a person washes his hands and he washes till the wrist, so Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the says we should say Bali Neder. We don't say Bali Neder because when we're little children, before the age of 11 for a girl and 12 for a boy, we study Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in school, and that's what it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'av you wash till here, and all year long you wash till there. So Milachatila, we know that that's what we're going to do for whatever reason it is. Whatever the explanation is, everybody knows it. That's what you got to do. But that's that Beis Yosef by Hilchas and Tilsit Nam is quoted by the other pasuk. Whenever a person wants to adopt a Midas Chasidus, he should say the first time Bili Neder, and then even though he's going to do it the Midas Chasidus 1,000 times, it's not binding because he said the first time Bili Neder. So that's what Rav Meir Arik writes in the Imre Yosha and his Truths. He says that the first time we really assume that Maisik, not their Isa, that's not the question. Maisik, so we don't accept the opinion of the Ravid. And Maisik Sofni is the Raisa, and therefore it's only Laniyim literally, because it's a Pchina of a Maisa Oni. That we don't accept. You assume that Maisik Sofni is not a Din the Raisa, it's not a Maisa Oni, it's a Shirin Tzedokah. The only toss up is whether it's a Derabbanon or it's a Midas Chasidus. So many Achrenim assume that it's only a Midas Chasidus, and the first time a person gives it, he should say Bili Nedus, so it won't be binding. The Gemara comments in Ksubas that why does it say Aser Asren Uloch twice? If he's talking about Maisa Ksafin, he should say Asren Uloch. So the Gemara says, Aser Asren means I'll give one tenth, and another tenth means that he'll give a fifth. That a fifth is the maximum that you're allowed to give. Kamavaz was all Yavaz, was Yasim Chemish. You're not allowed to give more than one fifth. Tzedok Hashemi Yayoni, be it's Tarach Labrius. If you give too much, he may become poor. So that's not the Secheldig. The Mitzvah Tzedok is to give to the Anin, to take care of them, but to cause itself to become an Ani. That's not included in the mitzvot stuff. So the Gemara says that's the reason why it says the double lashon aser asher aloch, to teach you that the maximum is chaymish. There's a steer in the Rambam that the Chafetz Chaim works on in the Sefer Avas Chesed. And in one place the Rambam says that it's recommended that you should give a chomish. The other place he says that you should recommend you should give ma'aser, and the chomish is the maximum, not that chomish is the recommended amount. So it's a steer. So the Chafetz Chaim gives you a teretz. He says, if you have anim knock on your door all day and all night, and they need tzedakah, so then the chomish is recommended. If you don't have so many anim banging on your door, see today there are institutions that anim and get letters in the mail all the time. So then the Chafetz Chaim says if the people are asking, so then lechatchila should give a chomish if you can afford it. If you can't afford it, no. If one can afford it, should give a chomish. But if it doesn't have people banging on the doors. There are people all over the world who are nitzrochim, but they're not asking me. In the days of the Chavetz Chaim, they didn't have airplanes. They weren't flying all over from... They come now to New York from all over the world. Everybody comes to ask for tzedakah. In the days of the Chavetz Chaim, they weren't pounding on the doors, they're in Radu. So if the people are knocking on the doors, they're asking for tzedakah, just the local people, the local institutions. So then, it's a mitzvah l'chatchila to give ma'aser. And chomish is the maximum. You're not mechuyev to give chomish? No one's asking you. You don't have to give so much. Not mechuyev. What are you going to buy... leather padding for the chairs in the shul. What do you have to waste money for? All the needs, all the anim are taken care of already. That's his suggestion. The neder that Yankov Avinu took is introduced with the expression "Vayida Yankov neder lemar." What does it mean, lemar? Usually, "Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe lemar." The Gemara understands in Yuma, in the first pek, "Lemar li Yisrael," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu permission to tell a dinim over to Bnei Yisrael, that whenever a person gets a nevuah, it's assumed that it's to be kept a secret unless the Navi is authorized explicitly to tell it to someone. I think Mar says, in fact, anything. When I'm sitting in a car and carrying on a conversation and I say all the personal things, so the Gemara says it's assumed that everything is to be held in confidence unless I give the other person permission to say it over. But otherwise not. The Gemara learns it out from the word Lema. Adam Hashem Moshe Lema. Lema means Lema Yisrael. If not for the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam gave permission, it would have been understood that it should be held in confidence. So how do you read the word Lema over here? V'yidah Yankif Neder Lema. What do you mean Lema? So don't you see simply the word Lema means colon? But that was on Moshe Lema saying, "Ida Yankat Neda Lema." Colon. This is what he said. Mielakimi Mori. What does the word Lema mean? So Tosis on the first daf in Chulin quotes the Medrash on this pasuk. "Ida Yankat Neda Lema Ladoris," to teach Bnei Yisrael throughout all the future generations that it's a mitzvah lidor the Eis Tzara. This is in the context of the first daf in Chulin. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Koheles Tova Shel Atido Yishetido Veloy Tushala. It's better not to take a neder at all. When a person takes a neder and then he fulfills the neder, let's say a person pledges to give $100 and then he gives $100. So the Gemara says he gets reward for giving the $100 and he gets reward for pledging to give the $100. Gets double sky. So, but the pasuk says it's better not to, even though you get reward, if ultimately you pay up the pledge, and then not only do you get reward for paying the money, you get reward for accepting the pledge as well. It's preferable not to take a neder at all, rather than to take a neder and not to fulfill the neder. It means that the person is not so sure that he'll be able to live up to the neder, so let him not take a neder. So that's all it says in the pasuk in Kehelet. So the Tanoim have a machlekes on the first daf in Chulin and the first perik in the Dorim. Say machlekes, Rav Meir, Rav Yudah. But there's a third possibility: no dirah mekayim. So would you say that no dirah mekayim, the person does have money. Right after Havdalah, he's going to pay the debt. He's going to pay, he's going to take a neder on Shabbos, he's going to pay the money right away. So is it preferable, no der umishalem is better than tov ashele otida? Is that better than not taking a neder at all? Or you say, tov mizeh mizeh sheinah no der kolika. The best thing is never to take any neder. So that's a machlekes satanoim. So Tosis points out that even if one should assume that tov mizeh mizeh sheinah no der kolika, the best thing is never to take any pledges at all. But if it's an Eis Tzara, then it's a mitzvah lidah be Eis Tzara. Here, Yaakov Avinu is running away from his brother Esav. He's afraid Esav is going to kill him. He's going to catch up with him. He's going to kill him. So he pledges, he makes a deal with the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you protect me from my brother Esav, and I come back in one piece from Chutz Laaretz, and I'll be successful in life. My parents ask me to find the Shidduch. If I'll find the Shidduch and everything will go well, Aser Asren Aloch, I'll give you my success. So this is a deal that people make with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yaakov Avinu took the neder, v'yid Yaakov neder leimo ledoros, to teach Bnei Yisrael that we should do the same. That if someone in the family is sick, or it's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time, or it's the Shavuot Shagolim, and the Mishnah says that ba'bor prokim ho'olam nidon, there are four seasons of the year that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the whole world. The Pesach nidonim al ha'tvua, and on Shavuos nidonim al peres rilin, and Sukkos nidonim al amayin, and on Yom Kippur, everyone is being judged. So these four Yimei Hadin are considered the Eis Tzara. So that's why they always used to make appeals, classically, traditionally in Europe, they used to make appeals these four times. That's why they introduced the Yisker, because they would make appeals, and the people are giving tzedakah anyway. So they said, let this tzedakah be counted, let it be considered a schus from my parents who taught me the practice of giving tzedakah. So that's a different kind of a neder. A neder, the Eis Tzara, is like a contract with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shach quotes those Achrenim who say that it's not right to be mata neder. If a person takes a neder, the Eis Tzara, let's say the guy's sick, he's holding by dying, then he takes a neder. If I pull through with this, I'll donate $50,000 to Tzara. Then he pulls through, then he decides, I can't afford $50,000, I'm going to back out, make a Hatar Tzara. So the Baruch Shalom may back out from his half of the deal. He may take back your life. So that's why the Shach in Yeridei quotes the Sefer Hasidim, the Rishonim, and the early Achrenim. They came up with this Chumer, that a neder b'Yisrael is a different kind of a neder, that it's not right to be matter such a neder. And that's a mitzvah lida b'Yisrael. That's on Yeridei Chela Gimel. This is quoted on the first page in the Ramah. Yeridei Chela Gimel, first page in Yeridei, the mitzvah lida b'Yisrael. The Bali Musa used to take Kabbalas on Rosh Hashanah. They feel Rosh Hashanah is Yom Adin, so you have to make kabbalas. The Dorim don't have to be pledged to give tzedakah. What if the Bal Musa is not going to make any money? So there's nothing to pledge to give. You're not going to earn any money. He's learning in the yeshiva. So he used to pledge to be more medaktik, to be medaktik, to come to minyan on time, not to be batal zman and neseda, whatever. So that's included in the mitzvah lidor b'yestor. The Rambam comments in Hilchos Derechem v'Charamim and Hilchos Neziris, and both, he comments on the pasuk here that Yaakov Avinu pledges to give to tzedakah 1/10 of all that he will earn in the future. He didn't earn it yet, he doesn't have it. So basically it's a davar shelo bal yadam. But he pledges that if and when I'll get all this amount of money, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause me to be successful in business and parnasa, then he pledges to give. So the Rambam writes, Pashit, in one place, there's a contradiction in the Rambam. One place the Rambam writes, what we should say is, no, that even though one cannot be Makne Dovish Lo Bali Olam, one cannot be Magdish Dovish Lo Bali Olam, but you can take a neder, I hereby take a neder on the Chavis HaGavra, that if and when I'll become a wealthy man, I'll give such a percentage to Tzedakah. That's a reasonable thing. So the Rambam in one place writes like that. Then the other place the Rambam sounds like he says that the Hagdosh is Chal, on the Dovish Lo Bali Olam. So that's a problematic Rambam. The Lechem Mishnah points out the steer in the two Rambams. Then the Chumash goes on to describe the marriage of Yaakov Avinu, that he married two sisters and he had all the Yud Beis Shvatim. Rabban HaChumash is bothered with a famous difficulty that the Gemara says, Kim Avraham Avinu kol haterukul ad shelo nitna. So how come? So he assumes that if Avraham Avinu was Mekayim kol haterukula, Mistama Yitzchak and Yaakov also were Mekayim kol haterukula, so how come Yaakov marries two sisters? That's his big kasha. So the Ramban has his famous suggestion that he thinks that the Ovis were only volunteered to be Mekayim Kol HaTarkula in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Loretz. So this was in Chutz Loretz. The Ikam Mokam of Shmiras Kol HaMitzvus is really in Eretz Yisrael. Then Rabban Shalom made a loyplug. A loyplug there, so you have to keep all the mitzvahs in Chutz Loretz as well. But the main location is really in Eretz Yisrael. So if you're mitzvah, if the Matan Torah, so you're obligated, so the Rabban Shalom made a loyplug, you have to keep Taryag mitzvahs, Bein Boris, Bein Chutz Loretz. But if it's Kodem Matan Torah, you're just volunteering. So since the whole Indian of Kiyum HaMitzvos really only makes sense in Eretz Yisrael, so the Yavans only volunteer in Eretz Yisrael. So that's his suggestion. That's why one of the two sisters had to die when Yaakov Avinu returns back to Eretz Yisrael at the end of the parsha. So somebody has to die that he shouldn't be married to two sisters. So that's why Rachel died. So Yaakov didn't realize that. He killed his wife. By coming back to Eretz Yisrael, he killed his wife. So the Midrashim have other suggestions. Midrashim don't say like the Ramban about the coming back to Eretz. Ramban says once he came back, so he's not allowed to have two wives, not allowed to maintain two wives. So one of them, in Hashemayim, had to die in order that he shouldn't be in violation of volunteering the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. So a little bit, that part of the Ramban is a little bit difficult. We usually have a klal in the Gemara and Yivam is called the Ishtarya. That if a person got married the heter, then the heter remains come what may, even if there's some reason later on. Let's say a man is a Kohen and he marries an almana. Let's say a boy is in the army and he gets killed at the age of 20. Never. He gets killed. And he leaves a young almana. His almana is only 19, 18. He leaves a young almana. So the young almana marries a Kohen. The Kohen is allowed to marry an almana. Then they build a Beis HaMikdash and they want to appoint this guy. This Kohen is now 45 years old and he has a whole family. They want to appoint him to be the Kohen Gadol. So you say, if he takes the job, he has to divorce his wife because the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be married to an Amana. So the Mishnah says not so. That if he got married Beheter, then he doesn't have to divorce his wife. Even if he only made Erisin, Eris is Salmana, and Isman Ali is Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah says in Yibam, is Dav Samachal Manav, that he's allowed to Kohenes. After they appoint him as the Kohen Gadol, he's permitted to do the Nisuin on the Alman, because Holdi Ishtariya Ishtariya, once the Tchilos Aishas was Beheter, so he can remain with her later on. The one exception to the rule is a Soto, a sota becomes asura al baila, because the pasuk says v'nitma, when the woman becomes a sota, so part of the ishus is broken. Calls man that he still has the original ishus with his wife. So that's the halacha hal vishtarya, that the ishus is mater isha labaila. Once he divorces his wife, then there's no more heter. So the sota, the pasuk says v'nitma, v'nitma means that part of the ishus gets broken. The ishus is now incomplete. But that's why she becomes asura al baila. So Mustam, this part of the Ramban is questionable. But the Ramban said that Yankov Bina was allowed to marry her, it was chutzlars, it was okay. Then when he came back there, it's all something had to give, somebody had to die. L'chari, you should say, hold ishtari, ishtari. He married both of them, beheter. So that's what the Midrashim assumed, that the death of Rachel is attributed to something else. For some other reason. Why Rachel died? Not because when he come back there, it's so he can't be married to two sisters. But on the Zetzim Kasha, that the Ramban raised this issue, how come Yankov Bina married two sisters? So there's a comment from the Maharal Prague. Maharal Prague has a commentary on Rashi al Torah that's called Gur Aryeh. So on Parshas Vayishlach, Maharal Prague comments that he thinks that it only makes sense that the Ovis volunteered to do mitzvahs, Kodem Atin Torah, mitzvahs haseh. He thinks that mitzvahs lo yaseh doesn't make any sense. He can volunteer a mitzvahs lo yaseh. Aloy says, either you're mitzvah, either you're muzer not to do the averis, so then you're not allowed to do it. If you're not muzer, so it doesn't make sense. There is no kiyum on Aloy says. You get schar if a person doesn't eat. When the person decides to have breakfast, lunch, and supper, and each time he makes a decision, he's going to keep kosher. He's not going to eat non-kosher food. So he deserves a reward for choosing to eat kosher, not to eat non-kosher. He had an option. He can go to the non-kosher food stores across the street from the yeshiva also. Some of the students frequent the non-kosher establishments. But so each student has a choice to go to the kosher or to the non-kosher. So the Gemara says, Yashav v'loy over avera is noikol schar kilo osa mitzvah. You get the reward for choosing not to do an avera. But you can't say that there's a kiyum a mitzvah by abstaining from performing an avera. So kodem atin Torah, that the yovis are just volunteering as an eden mitzvah v'yos, it only makes sense, the Maharal Miprak says, it only makes sense to volunteer a mitzvah saseh. There's a concept of any mitzvah liyos and a mitzvah saseh, that the women shake a lulav even though they're not mechuyev, and the women count sviri even though they're not mechuyev, and they listen to the gir shofi even though they're not mechuyev. But to say that Yankov Avinu shouldn't marry two sisters as an eina mitzvah liyos of an iser, that the Maharal Miprak says it doesn't make any sense. There's such an opinion, a big machlekes in the Rishonim. The Gemara in the end of Yevamos has an anida, the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim and a machlekes hamaram, shala how we paskin. But the cut neichel nebel is bezem mitzuvah lafrisha or ain bezem mitzuvah lafrisha. So most assume ain bezem mitzuvah lafrisha. If a child before bar mitzvah is eating non-kosher food, so the bezem is not mechuyev to stop the child from eating. So the Rishonim ask, how could that be? What happened to the mitzvah of chinuch? Bezem is not even mechuyev with the rabbanon to stop the child from eating the treif of food. So the Rishonim all talk about this kasha, a big split, a big machlokes, half and half. Half of the Rishonim say the chi of chinuch is only on the father. And the Gemara says, ain bezin mitzvah lafrisha means strangers, outside is bezin. But the father is mitzvah lafrisha because of chinuch. Because the din of chinuch applies equally to essay and to lois essay. And the other half of the Rishonim say it's not true, that even the father is not mitzvah lafrisha. The father sees that his kid is eating chazer, so the father is mechuyev to tell the kid, you know, tomorrow is your bar mitzvah. Starting from tomorrow, you're not allowed to eat any chazer. L'man t'mosim az b'nechem v'dababom. You have to teach a child Torah, but you don't have to stop him from eating the chazer. The father doesn't have to stop him either. What happened to the mitzvah of chinuch? Chinuch is only a mitzvah saseh, because the idea of chinuch is that the child should be an ena mitzvah v'yos. If the child will volunteer, we're going to encourage him to volunteer. We're going to pressure him to volunteer to fulfill the mitzvah saseh. So there is a kiyum. But if the child is not a bar chiyuv, is not a muzar on the averis, so we're going to see to it that he doesn't eat chazer, nothing is accomplished. There is no kiyum for abstaining from an aver. If you're muzer, if a person is a bar chiyuv, he's not allowed to eat the chazer. Okay, so he didn't violate the aver. But what is not a bar chiyuv to encourage him that he should volunteer is an amen to the yosef. And the law says that that doesn't make any sense. So this is the svara that the Maharal Miprag suggested over here in Vayishlach. The answer is kasha of the Ramban. How can Yankov Avinu marry two sisters? So he says that it doesn't make sense Kodem Atin Torah to volunteer as an enem mitzvah liyos and a lois es, only on an essay. says in Yerideya that the Mechabe and the Rambam both quote cases. We know that sometimes people are obligated to rip kriya when a relative dies, and sometimes people are obligated to observe avelus when certain relatives die. Different degrees of avelus. What if it's a dear friend who died? So one is not obligated to rip kriya, not obligated to observe avelus. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, based on Mishnayos and based on Gemaras, that if a person wants to volunteer to rip kriya, so there is a kiyum of kriya. If there wouldn't be a kiyum, it would be an isa bal tashlis. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, based on Mishnayos, there is a kiyum of kriya if a dear friend dies, and if a person wants to volunteer avelus, so there's also a kiyum of avelus, as in any mitzvah. That's why the last 80 years, the Rabbanim recommend that people who were adopted and raised by someone else, other than their parents, should observe, should rip kriya when the adoptive parent dies, and they should observe avelus, because it's certainly at least equivalent to a dear friend. He raised me. So the shaila is, does it make sense to volunteer avelus yid beis chodesh? Avelus yid beis chodesh is only for parents. Other relatives, one only observes avelus shiv and shloishim. So does it make sense to volunteer avelus yid beis chodesh? Why not? Because yid beis chodesh, you have no kiyumim, you only have isurim. So l'chor, that doesn't make any sense. There is no concept of einu mitzvah v'yosa on isurim. It only makes sense einu mitzvah v'yosa on kiyumim. That's a shaila. According to those Rishonim, say like that. Half of the Rishonim say like this, Maral Miprat, that the chinuch by the cotton, the chinuch is on the father and on bezin. It's not restricted only to the father, but chinuch only applies to mitzvah sesei. It doesn't apply to loy sesei. So the cotton is echon nevelus, and there's no chiv chinuch to stop him. You have to tell him. You have to tell the child. You know, tomorrow is your bar mitzvah. So starting from tomorrow on, you're not allowed to eat chazen. So the kid says, good, okay. Today he's not bar mitzvah. So he's allowed to eat the chazen. Okay. You should tell him, you should practice getting used to it. He says, he practiced already. He's been practicing every so often. He doesn't eat chazan. Today he has a desire. Last chance. Tomorrow is going to be bar mitzvah. Last chance to eat the chazan. So the question is, if you say like that, yachinach is only on mitzvah. So I say, there's yachinach on lois. So how come it says in the Mishnah on the last parak in Yuma that you mechanach diktanet to fast on Yom Kippur? So the answer is obvious, that the one who eats on Yom Kippur is over an Aveira, and the Mishnah says in Malkus, he gets Malkus. But one who fasts on Yom Kippur is in fulfillment of a mitzvah saseh. Adaran, you look in Chumash, you won't find the lois saseh, you only find the yeseh. Inisim es nav shesech mitisha lachodesh b'erach, me'er ha'erach, tish b'su shabbat, and it says v'inisim, and only says b'losh and mitzvah saseh. It never really says a lois saseh. The Gemara has to work hard to dig up, perhaps to find out in between the lines there. Mishnah Makkah says, Arechel v'sheis av Yom Kippurim is loike. So the Gemara dug up a lav over there. The Rambam digs up a different lav. Kol nefesh shalos se'une. Where does it say a lav there? It says, Kol nefesh shalos se'une v'nichlasov. So that's complicated. They had a tradition that there is a lav. But to say that there's an essay, that you don't need a tradition. That's b'feirish in Chumash. So that for sure, that there's chinuch ha'ktan for fasting on Yom Kippur. And that Mishnah, the last parak in Yuma, the Tosis on the Daf points out. For sure, there's chinuch and fasting on Yom Kippur, because fasting on Yom Kippur is a mitzvah saseh.
Why Yud Beis Chodesh? Even though it's only surim, but the kiyum, it's kibud avayim. So that's how.
That's the shaila. Whether nihu gavelus of Yud Beis Chodesh over the shloshim, is that a kiyum of kibud avayim? Is that what it means? Or is it that because of the consideration of kibud avayim, the Chachamim instituted these laws of avelus?
I think Rabbi Sauer, he explained by Onay, the reason why you don't make making a bracha, it says you're not allowed to, by Nitiyas Sadaim, the Achronim say, you still have to do Nitiyas Sadaim, because even though he explained that, even though there's a din by Bracha Rishona, they're not allowed to...
Right, so there's one opinion in the Rishonim that the Einan has to say Bichas HaNenem, because otherwise he's not allowed to violate Isurim. He's only not allowed to do mitzvahs, but he's not allowed to violate Isurim. So there's one minority opinion, the Kolbo holds that the Einan has to recite Bichas HaNenem. Shulchan Aruch, we pass against that Kolbo. The Yisim Masa L'Hanis Malal Manzeh B'Lai Bracha is just There's a mitzvah to recite a bracha, mitzvah mid rabbanon to recite birchas hanen. Whoever doesn't fulfill the mitzvah is doing wrong. So since it begins with a mitzvah, so the einan is not obligated, is not permitted to fulfill the mitzvah, so he's not allowed to say a bracha. Tilas yadam, we assume it's both. There's a mitzvah to wash until yadam before you eat bread. And we assume there's an iser, even without the mitzvah, there's an iser to eat bread without until yadam. So the einan has to wash without a bracha. Right, that's what it says.
But he was trying to say it's midin, they even know there's an iser, but it's in the kium of that even though that's within a kium, even though you have an iser involved, even though there's an iser on the owning, and it's not allowed to do mitzvahs, but since it's all in the status of us Muhammad Tawana Zeh, it's still fine.
Why can't you say that it's all within the kiyum of Tivut Avayim, even though it's an Isser, that we still apply it. Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to assume like that. In his tshuva, he seems to assume that the Avelis Yud Beis Chodesh is the Gemara says Mishum Ki B'Rav, so he assumes Kibshuta. But the classical post before Rav Moshe don't assume like that. They say that Mishum Ki B'Rav is the motivation that prompted the Chachamim to introduce more Dini Avelis. And they say, Halach de Ba Mekel Ba'ovel, Sofak Avelis L'Kula, applies to Avelis Yud Beis Chodesh also. As they say, it's an aspect of Avelis. And the Pashta says that it's only Yisurim. There are no Kiyumim in Yud Beis Chodesh. It's only Yisurim. So that's a Shalat. Does that make sense to volunteer in Nihug Avelis Yud Beis Chodesh? Let's say an adopted child loses his adopted parent, his step-parent, and he wants to observe, wants to volunteer to rip Kri. So doesn't he? Wants to volunteer to observe Shiva and Shloshim. Fine. But the Shalat, does it make sense to volunteer Yud Beis Chodesh? So according to the way this Marami Prague develops his idea, that it does make sense to be an Eina Mitzvah of Yaisan of Leisasan. Could well be that not. You can volunteer to say Kaddish. The question is whether it helps or not. The reciting of Kaddish is based on the Zohar, based on the Gemara in the Chelek, and the last parak in Sanhedrin. The Gemara learns that from Tanakh, that Bro Mizaka Abba, Abba Lo Mizaka Bro. That the children, these grandchildren, descendants, whatever, are an extension of the parents or the grandparents. So whatever mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim they do are considered a schus for their parents or for their ancestors. But abba lo mizaka bro, the parents are not an extension of their children or their grandchildren. So the father is going to do all the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. It's not going to help for the son. Father's not an extension of the son. But that's why traditionally it's usually assumed that Kaddish is only recited by the children. The children recite Kaddish, and the grandchildren recite Kaddish. As Bro Mizaka Abba, the Zohar says, when the child recites Kaddish, he's paid to the parents from whatever Gehenim they should be suffering. If they're such tzaddikim that they don't deserve any Gehenim, so the children don't have to say any Kaddish. But they were afraid that maybe people did Averis that we're not so familiar with. Maybe they were Bali Aver, maybe they should be deserving some Gehenim. So the Zohar says, the Beis Yosef quotes the Zohar, that when the children recite Kaddish, this is a schus for the parent. But it doesn't make sense that another person should say Kaddish. If he's not a descendant, you don't say Kaddish.
Why does that help for us to make Siyum for
I don't know if it helps. The Gemara in the end of the first parak in Bava Kamma says that it's a very high level of kavod. It says that when Chizkiyahu HaMelech died, the kavod also lo biyom also. They showed a big kavod. So the Gemara says, Malamat Shehoshiva Yeshiva Al-Kibra. That the highest form of kavod is to dedicate learning in honor of the niftar. That's why you give, you learn mishnayos in honor of the niftar. It's a kavod, even if it's a stranger, even if it's not the son. It's a sign of kavod. The Gemara says, "Afilu erev etchumen erev etavshilin." Yeah, shaila, what it is? Yeah. So there are two girsas there in the Gemara, in the Medrash, but it goes on Erevei Tavshilin, Erevei Tchum. So it goes in Erevei Tavshilin, you can say that that's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah, Rabban. Erevei Tchum in the Pashto says that that's only an Issa. The Vilna Gaon is the one who thinks that it's a misprint. Instead of saying Erevei Tavshilin, he thinks they should say Erevei Tchum. So that's only a loises, yeah. So that's not like the Marami Prague, right? That's like the Ramban. Ramban thinks that that he has a question. Ramban is the one who posed the question: how can Yaakov Avinu marry the two sisters? if the Ov is volunteered to observe Kol HaTorah Kula Shelo Nitna, so he thinks that they volunteered even Lo Yisas.
People pay somebody to take Kodesh. Should I have now? Maybe
Shulchan Aruch, it says it's a shtickel schus, if someone says Kaddish for someone else, but the real schus is only when a descendant says the Kaddish. The din that the Avelim say Kaddish is only the children say. Let's say a brother is an Avelis, or a parent is an Avelis, a different relative is an Avelis, so they don't say Kaddish. If they daven for an Amid, so they say the Kaddish that the Chazan says, but they don't say the Kaddish Yosem. The Kaddish Yosem is only recited by one who is a descendant from the one who died. Pasuk says that Leah was shooting off one baby after the other. She already had four babies. And they all knew Baruch HaKadosh that they're going to be 12 Shvatim. And Yaakov Avinu had four wives. So if they're going to be 12 Shvatim from four wives, in higher mathematics, each one, if you divide it equally, each one is going to have three. So she already had a fourth baby. So that's more than her share. Then she even had more later on. So Rachel was dying from aggravation. So she says to her husband, Havali banu b'mai meisa anoich. She's going to die. So that's what the Gemara has to come in. Meishein la banim choshuv kimeis. One who doesn't have any children is considered as if he's dead. Why is considered as if he's dead? Because we only live, imeishein asein abahem shim mishana, you only live so long. Dimigurish banim mishana. Okay, some people live a little longer. How long do you live? So no one really lives so long. So if a person identifies with the past and he identifies with the future, so then he's living longer. A person links up with Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak and Yankif and the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi and the Vilna Gaon, he links up with the past and he lives in the future. He talks about Eliyahu Navi coming and Mashiach, so he lives much longer. He lives over a much longer span of life. If a person doesn't have any children, so he's not going to be his... He's the end of the line, so he's not going to, his descendant, he has no descendants, going to continue to live on, so it's missing. That's why the Gemara has an expression, Rishoyim b'chayim krui meisim. Why Rishoyim b'chayim krui meisim? Because they don't link up with the past. They're not interested in linking up with Avram, Yitzchak. They don't live in the past, they don't live in the future, they only live in the present. Living in the present is hardly any time there. So that's what the Medrash has to come at. V'mayim meisan oichi. The Abarbanel has a comment on this pasuk that some of the Rabbanim pointed out. Remember Rabbi Moshe Bezin, Zechon Lebrach, he used to head JSS here. So every year he would comment, he said the Abarbanel has a comment on the pasuk that Rachel was speaking to Yaakov Avinu as if the whole purpose of the creation of women is just to have babies. And a woman who can't have a baby is useless. That's the only purpose that men were created to do mitzvahs and to learn Torah, and the women, the only role that women have in life is to give birth to babies and raise them, that's all. So Yaakov Avinu gets angry at her. What are you, crazy? Idiot. What kind of talking is that? Women have a role in life. One part of their role in life is to have babies. The women can do all kinds of mitzvahs and mitzvahs and time, wonderful things. It's not only with respect to having babies. There used to be a couple in the New York area. The husband was a very big Talmid Chacham, and the wife was a big tzaddikus. The husband was a rabbi. So when the rabbanim used to have shailas about chalitzas and about gittin and about ksubas, pasul b'chol, yeriday, avanezer, all aber chalka shulchanah, he used to call the husband. He was an Eretz Yisrael big Talmid. He used to call the husband. He knew everything. He would find you the din all the time. And when the rabbanish family, someone was sick, so they would always call the wife that she should say tehillim. The husband was also David. But the wife is known as an unusual tzaddikus. Her koyach hatfila was tremendous. Women are usually more involved in maaseh chesed than the men. Men have to work for a living. Men have to learn Torah, whatever. The men are busy. They're too busy to do chesed. And the women do other things. So that's what the Abarbanel has a comment on this pasuk, that this attitude that Rachel had was a very improper attitude. To have the feeling as if the sole purpose of creating women was in order to have babies, and if you can't have babies, life is not worth living, is a little bit ridiculous. Mayin Mesa Anoichim. You have each one of the children gets another name. So sometimes it's an issue. Who has the right to give the name? The father or the mother? The Yiddish folklore. They tell about the husband and the wife came to the rabbi, they had a machlekes. The husband wanted to name the baby after his father, and the wife wanted to name the baby after her father. So the rabbi, after a long conversation, asks, so what was your father's name? Shmuel. What was your father's name? Shmuel. So what are you fighting about? No. He wants it to be Shmuel after his father, and she wants it to be Shmuel after her father. So the rabbi asks, well, what did your father do for a living? So he said, he used to forge money. And what did your father do for a living? He was a horse thief. So he said, meanwhile, we'll call a baby Shmuel. If he grows up to be a horse thief, it'll be named after your father. If he grows up to be a forger, it'll be named after your father. There's such a big deal. They make such a big deal about who has the right to name the baby. So the Shailas talk about, what does it say over here in the Chumash? When they were giving birth to the babies, who had the right to name the babies? So the simple reading of the Psukim . The first baby says, Vatikra Shma Ruhuvein. She named the baby Ruhuvein. What's Vatikra Shma Shimon? She named the baby Shimon. Al King Korah Shmo Levi. He named the baby Levi. So what does it say over here? Who's giving the name to the baby? The husband, the wife. So there's later, when Yehuda has a few children. So the Daz, the Kenan Balei Tosfos points out that there it says that the first baby, Yehuda gave the name, the second baby, the wife gave the name, the third baby, Yehuda would have given the name, but because the husband was out of town, that's why the wife gave the name to the third baby. Really, they should alternate. The husband has the right to name the first baby, the wife has the right to name the second baby, and then you alternate. So some quote that Das Ken Balei HaTosfos, that that's the rule. And others say no. From today's parsha, it would appear that the wife has the right to name the first baby, and then the second baby also, and the third baby also. The husband has no right to name the babies at all. I don't know. Rav Soloveitchik used to tell over to some of to his students. He said, "My name is Yosher Ber. I was the oldest child. I was the first child born to my parents, and I was named after my father's grandfather, Yosher Ber Abchaim's father. So what's the kasha?" So no one knew, what's the kasha? What's Shver? He said, no, he's supposed to ask a kasha. The kasha is that the wife has the right to name the first baby. I don't know where it comes from. So he said, how come his father gave him the name? His mother should have given the name, and she would have given a name after someone in her family. How come his father gave the name? So he told over the story that Rab Chaim came to visit his mother when she gave birth to him when he was born. And Rab Chaim said that both Al Pidin and Lufi HaMinik, she has the right to name the first baby. I don't know what that means. Al Pidin and Lufi HaMinik. Why is it Al Pidin? Why is it the Minik? It's very unclear. That's how he says. Rav Chaim told his mother, Al Pidin and Al Pidminik, she's entitled to name the first baby. But if you'll do me a favor and you name the baby after my father, the Beis HaLevi, I'll be the son. He usually couldn't stand the sight of blood, so he would never serve as a son. But he promised to be the son. So she said, okay. He promised it to be the son. He wants it so much. So she agreed. She named the baby Yosher Ber. So that remained like that. And then when it came time to serve the son, he disappeared. So he didn't serve as the son, but the name, he gave him the name anyway. So I don't know what that means. What's such a big issue about naming a baby? We had 9 babies and my wife gave all the names. I let her, she carried the babies for 9 months. I let her pick all the 9, all the 18 names. She gave every baby 2 names, so she picked all the 18 names. There's a big discussion the Torah Shlema has on the pronunciation of the name Yisachar. And today's Sedra, Yisachar's Chaticha B'Dedoi B'ni, and she gives the name Yisachar. So some Rishonim write, I think Rashi and Dibrayamim writes, that Yisachar is a Kriyoksiv, that it's spelled with 2 shins and you only pronounce 1 of the 2. Yisachar, you don't pronounce it Yisachar. If that's the case, that it's a Kriyoksiv, then some of the Poskim write, when you write a Ksuba, you write a Get, and you're spelling names, and there's a name that's a Kri Aksiv, so you're supposed to write it in the Ksuba, in the Get, according to the Kri, not according to the Ksiv. The Ksiv is a Din in Tanakh, but a Kri Aksiv, when you write anything outside of Tanakh, so you should write Yisocha, Yud Shin Chofresh. There are some Chassidish Rebbes who spell their name Yisocha like that, Yud Shin Chofresh. So people always think that they're misspelling their name. No, they're following this day that the Poskim say they have. Ratzi Pesach Frank has a whole tshuva about that. How should you spell Yisachar in a get? They quote that. I think Rashi and Dirayama says Yisachar is a Kri Aksiv, and the Poskim say whenever there's a Kri Aksiv, that's for Tanakh Kri Aksiv. But outside of Tanakh, you write according to the Kri, not according to the Aksiv. Others say it's not a Kri Aksiv. That's the pronunciation. Yisachar is pronounced Yisachar. It's not that it's a Kri Aksiv. The correct spelling is 2 shins, even when you're writing a Ksuv in a get. And others say that that sometimes you pronounce it Yisoschar. So that's a shaila. When do you pronounce it Yisoschar? So some have the practice the first time. When you learn Parshas Vayetzi, you pronounce it Yisoschar. Some have the meaning that till the end of Chumash Bereishis, you pronounce it Yisoschar. And others have the meaning until Parshas Pinchas. What happened in Parshas Pinchas? Because the Das Ken Balei HaTosfos quotes a Medrash that Yisoschar had a baby, and he named his baby Yov. And he didn't. He picked the name, and he didn't realize that Yov is the name of an Avodah Zarah. And then when he realized that he gave a very improper name for his child, so he decided to donate one of the shins from his name to the son. So what do you have to donate? Well, just give him a different name. I don't know. So from that time, so the first time it's mentioned in Chumash that Yisachar's child's name was Yoshuv. Originally, it says his name was Yov, Yud Vav Beis. And then, starting from Parshas Pinchas, it's mentioned that the son's name was Yoshev. Where did the shin come from? So he donated the shin from his name to his son's name. So that's why some have the meaning that from Parshas Pinchas on, you pronounce Yisachar. Up until Pinchas, you pronounce Yisoschar. And from Pinchas on, you pronounce Yisachar, because that's when he donated the shin from his name. I don't know what that means. So that's all it says that in Valojan, they did like that. Is to lane Yisoschar until Pinchas, and started from Pinchas on, they would lane Yisachar. His practice was to lane from Vayetze till Pinchas, he would lane any possible that has Yisachar, he would lane it twice. Have him say once Yisachar, once Yisoschar, and then from Pinchas on to lane Yisachar. Different traditions. The Torah Shleima quotes all of these on this pasuk Yisachar. In the end of Bar Mitzia quotes the pasuk that Yaakov Avinu is telling his wives, "Aten yidatim ki b'chol kochi avarti yasavichem," that Hashem Yisachar has to guard the pikkud much harder than Hashem Achina. Yaakov Avinu was Hashem Yisachar; he was salaried for doing the work. But that's why he says, "B'chol kochi avarti yasavichem." If he would have only been Hashem Achina, so Marcel, he wouldn't have been mechuyav to be moisa nefesh to work so hard. It would have been sufficient if it would be not the kirinatri inshi. What does it mean, not the kirinatri inshi? To watch to the same extent that the Bailam himself watches. Let's say, I'm a shemachinim on your apartment. You're not paying me anything. And then in the summertime, sometimes you leave the windows open and you go out for a walk. You lock the front door, you go out for a walk. You're not choshed, the Ganoven can come through the window. Ganoven can come through the window, but people usually, the Balabas himself would go for a walk and leave the windows open. He wouldn't lock all the windows when he goes for a walk. So the one is a Shemachinim, is not Mukhiv to do more than the Balabas, but if he's a Shemachar, that's not sufficient, not the Kirinatri Inshi. If he watches to the same extent that the Mafkid would have watched, that's a Shemachinim, is only a Gavra Bacharikoi, a person in my stead, in my place, to watch to the same extent that I would watch. But Hashem Yisachar is dina kepoyel, and the din is that a poyel is b'chuyiv lavet b'chol koychoy. He has to do the job to the best of his ability. Doesn't mean he has to go crazy to type with both hands and two different letters at the same time and not take any breaks and not go to the bathroom until from 9 to 5. I mean, normal. He should be conscientious on the job. He shouldn't take too many coffee breaks. He should be conscientious on the job. He shouldn't say, why should I work so hard? The guy before me got the same salary as I'm getting, and he didn't know how to use a computer, and I use a computer. I shoot out 10 times as many letters a day. I do 10 times as much work as he did. So I don't have to do 20. I can really do 20 times as much work as he did. But why should I? It's good enough if I do as much as the guy before. So that you're not allowed to make such a cheshbon. That's how the Rambam quotes the din. And Hilchas Chiras, the Ram quotes the din of Poilus Mukhiyav Lavad Bechol Koicha Shenema Aten Yidatin Ke Bechol Koichi Ovadati Es Avichem. The Gemara quotes Aten Ke Bechol Koicha. The Gemara quotes it to establish the din that Hashem Yisachar has to watch, has to be more conscientious than Hashem Achinam. The Rambam quotes it when it gets to a Poil. So obviously it's the same thing. The reason why Hashem Yisachar is Bechuyiv to watch to a greater, to be more conscientious watching than Hashem Achinam is because Hashem Yisachar is salaried and he has the din of a Poil. Hashem Yisachar is a poil. What's the din? Can Hashem back out in the middle? A poil says a poil. Yochel laksa b'afila b'emtzayom. The poel has the right to quit in the middle of the job unless it's going to cause a hefsin moment to the balabas. Let's say a teacher in the middle of the year is going to quit, so how are they going to get another competent teacher? But if you notify the administration in a couple of months in advance that I want to quit in the middle of the second term or something, so if they have advance, if it's possible, if it's reasonably possible for them to get the replacement, usually the good teachers already have jobs. But if I notify them well in advance and they'll be able to replace me, so then it's permissible to quit because there's no hefsin to the balabas. Whenever there's no hefsin to the balabas, the poel can quit in the middle. What about a shomer? Can a shomer quit in the middle? Since I'm serving as a shomer on behalf of someone else, and I decide I don't want to be a shomer. I want to give back his kikud and say goodbye. So the Rashbo in the first perek in Kiddushin, Daf Ches, he has a rai from a gemara. He quotes the rai, it has a rai from a gemara. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. But a shomer cannot quit in the middle of the day. So the Rabbi Kivega there quotes from the Machne Ephraim on the bottom of the page of the Chosh Mish, but if the fellow is a Shema Socher and he wants to forego his salary, he doesn't want to be a Shema Socher anymore. He just wants to be a Shema Chinam. He doesn't want to be Mechuyif to watch so hard. So then that he can forego. Because the difference between the Shema Chinam and the Shema Socher is because the Shema Socher is a Poyo. And the Poyo Yochel Achsabafil Abem Soyom. So that differential he can back out from. But the basic shmirah, he can't back out from the basic shmirah. He says, I don't want to be a shomer at all. I want to give you back the pikkud. So if the bailam insists, no, you promised to serve as a shomer for half a year, so then the shomer cannot back out. But he can back out from serving as a shomer socher. That's because the difference between a shomer chinam and a shomer socher is based on the fact that the shomer socher is salaried and a poel is yochel achsabo. That extra amount of shmir is based on the fact that he's salaried. Yeah, how much is he supposed to be salaried to become a Shema Socher? So the Gemara talks about the Machlokes and Perek HaKoinis and Bava Kamma. Machlokes is Rabbi Rav Yosef, but the Shema Aveda never agreed to be a Shema at all. The Torah imposes upon him the obligation to serve as a Shema. So the Gemara has a Machlokes Rabbi Rav Yosef, is he a Shema Chinam or is he a Shema Socher? In the Shulchan Aruch, it's a machlokes in the Chabad and Ramah. Machlokes is Rambam and Tosfos, how to paskan. Whether the Shema Aveda is a Shema Chinam or a Shema Socher. So the Gemara says, what's the reason for Rabbi Yosef that he says that he's dinuk to Shema Socher? So the Gemara says, because he's saving himself a pruta to Rabbi Yosef. Yosef, b'mitzvah, potam and ha-mitzvah. So the Shema Aveda, when he'll be busy, every so often he's going to have to be metapel on the Aveda to shake out the jacket or to dust it off or something. So at the time that he'll be metapel on the Aveda to take good care of it, and Ani may come by and ask for tzedakah, and he'll be exempt, he'll be part of in giving tzedakah, so he'll save himself a pruta. So because of that pruta, the Rabbi Yosef, that makes him into a Shema Socher. So the Shach quotes in Chosh Mishpat from the Hagos HaShri on the side of the Rashi, you see from that Gemara that in order to become a Shema Socher, you have to be salaried a minimum of a pruta. If you're salaried less than a Shema Pruta, you don't have a din of a Shema Socher. So the Pashtus says that's a din, that's because that's a din of Schiris Pela. Because the difference between the Shema Chinam and Shema Socher is like the Rambam seems to imply, that the Shema Socher has the status of a poel on the Shmira. So in order to be considered a poel, you have to be salaried a minimum of a Shomer Prut. That's a question. The minimum Chiyav of a Shomer Prut is when the Torah imposes a Chiyav upon a person. Choyvel, Mazir, Ganav. Torah imposes a Chiyav. If a person borrows a Pachas from Shomer Prut, a person buys a candy, buys a piece of paper, which is Pachas Mishavah Prut, and he agrees to pay for it. But the Pashto says that a Hischaivis Nidas he can have on a Pachas Mishavah Prut. Only if it's a Milvak Silva Torah, if the Torah imposes a Chiv, the Torah never imposes a Chiv on less than the Shavah Prut. So from the fact that the Halacha says that the minimum amount of money you have to pay a poil, that it should have the minimum of a poil, the minimum amount you pay a Shema Socher is a Shavah Prut. So the Chavi, you see that the Chiv steers poilim. Is a milva haksula b'atora. It's not that the balabas accepts upon himself an obligation to pay the salary of the worker. He doesn't have to accept any obligation. If someone does work for me, the Torah imposes a chiyuv upon me. I have to pay the shivui hapa'ulo. Let's say someone did work for me and we never made up in advance. I hired a worker and we never spoke about salary. Then it comes the end of the week and he wants so much and I only want to pay him $1,000 less. How much do you have to pay? So the Tzais quotes from the Ritva and Bava Mitzvah, you pay Pachas Shebe Poilam. If there are different rates, different people wash windows for different rates. Some people take $1 an hour, some people take $2 an hour, some people take $20 an hour, whatever they take. So for washing these kind of windows. So if you never made up in advance, then you only pay pachashe b'poilim. So that'll be a chiv that the Torah imposes. If the two parties make up in advance, so it's not that they make up how much is the balabais mischaive to pay the poil. They make up what is the shivoi hapu'ula. Once they establish what is the shivoi hapu'ula, then the Torah imposes a chiv on the balabais that he should pay the demei schivus poilim. He should pay for the shivoi hapu'ula. But that's what a group of Rishonim seem to hold like that. That the schivus poilim is not a hischaivus midas. It's a chiv that the Torah imposes on the person. We learned the Gemara on the Afayinam and Beis in Baba Kama. The Gemara says, Esten Asen Torah Fila Bo Alimo. That even though Habo Alimo should be Chayiv Misen, should become Levi Derab Minei, so since he becomes Chayiv Misen, he shouldn't have to pay the mother if he agreed in advance to pay the mother salary for being Mizana with him, and that's non Zayna. So he should really say, come Levi Derab Minei, he shouldn't have to pay the Schiris Poilim. So the Gemara says, nonetheless, Esen Asen Torah Fila Bo Alimo. What does it mean? So Rashi and Tosis learn that even though it is covered with Kam Levi Derab Minei, but Baba Lotzei Sidei Shamayim, he really should pay. So therefore, if a person will volunteer on his own to pay, he'll give on his own, so then it'll be Nitvas as a Tashlumin, and he'll have the status of Esnan Zayim. That's how Rashi and Tosis lay. Esnan Astar, Filo Balimo, the child who's Mzana with the mother, really does not become a Chuyif to pay the Esnan Zayim, because of Kam Levi Derab Minei, he doesn't have to pay. But if he'll volunteer on his own, he's a good son. A very good son. He was Mizana with his own mother. And he agreed to pay her as Chiris Poilim. So if he volunteers to act like a good son and pay this Chiris Poilim, so it'll be Nitvas as an Esnan Zayin. And we discussed the Meiri on that Gemara, quotes from the Chachmi Provence, who disagree. They say, no, Yimuchuyib Nikra didn't pay the Esnan Zayin. Because Chiris Poilim is a Hischaivis Midas. The only time Kamble B'Derab Minei cancels the Chiyav Tashlumin is if the Chiyav Tashlumin is imposed by the Torah, but if it's a self-imposed chiv, the person accepts upon himself a chiv tashlum, and that's not covered with Kam Levi Derab Minei. So according to the Chachmi Provence, it really should be considered Schiris Poilim even if it's less than a Shavuot proof. Well, let's say he agrees to do the work for less than a Shavuot proof. It should also be Chal. This Shach, who quoted this Hagos Ashri, that Schiris Poilim has to have a minimum of a Shavuot proof. And Shai Masoch has to have a minimum of a Shavuot Pruta, because the Gemara talks about Pruta the Rav Yosef. This seems to be assuming not like that Chachmei Provence quoted by the Meiri. This seems to be assuming that the Schiris Poilim is a chiv that the Torah imposes on the Balabais, not that the Balabais accepts the obligation. Lavan was upset by Yaakov Avinu, who sneaks out of his home in the middle of the night when no one is watching. And he says, why did you run out like that? I would have made you a big farewell party. That's benoik shebo'elam. When a beloved relative or a beloved friend, a good friend, leaves, they make a party to show friendship. So the Or Zeruah writes that this pasuk is the marker for the institution of Malav Malka. And when Shabbos leaves, we want to bid Shabbos farewell. So we throw a Bekavadika party to show the Hashivas of Shabbos. Shabbos, what about Yontif? In the simple reading of the Rambam, it sounds like Oinik Shabbos is the Hanor that you have on Shabbos. Kvod Shabbos is the covered that you show to Shabbos before and after Shabbos. So before Shabbos is you vacuum the rug and you take a shower and you set the table. The house is neat and clean. Put on Big Day Shabbos in advance. You're ready in advance for enjoying Shabbos. On Shabbos you have the delicious food, that's Oinek. And you enjoy the fact that the house is so clean. You enjoy wearing these beautiful clothes. But the covered is all the preparations you do in advance or after Shabbos. So Malava Malka, the Rambam puts as a chelik of the mitzvah of kovet Shabbos. It's kovet before and kovet after. And then he says that the two mitzvahs of kibud v'yoinig apply equally to yontif as to Shabbos. So based on the simple reading of the Rambam, there should have been a din of malava malka matzoi yontif also. Most people do not make Amalav Malka Metzor Yantif. But the quote from the Brisker Rav, from Abelvela, that he pointed out, the simple reading of the Rambam is that he's supposed to have Malav Melech. I don't know, Shabbos is a Malka. Yantif is not a Malka, Melech, whatever. We should show that we're bidding farewell to the Yantif and we feel bad that it had to leave. Like over here, like Lavan says, he would have thrown a party to bid farewell to his dear children and grandchildren. Says on the Psukim Yigarsa Hadusa, if someone's going to write it in Hebrew instead of in Aramaic, the Sefer Torah will be Pasul. If you have something that appears in Chumash in Hebrew and you write it in Aramaic, or something that appears in Aramaic, you write it in Hebrew, so it's Pasul. You have to write everything the way it says. Targum Shiksavim Targum Shiksavim Mikra or Mikra Shiksavim Targum is Pasul. So the Gemara says that that's a reference to this Pasul, Yigarsa Hadusa. It has to be written the way it's written in Chumash. Lavan chased after Yaakov Avinu because he found the trophim were missing. Rachel had taken the trophim. What'd she take the trophim for? The trophim was have something to do with Avodah Zarah. So the Rashi quotes the Medrash that she wanted to prevent her father from worshipping the Trophim. She wasn't going to worship it, but she wanted to prevent him from worshipping it. So when Yaakov didn't know that she had taken the Trophim, so when Lavan chases after him and he says, Lama ganafta salahoi, so Yaakov says, what are you talking about? Whoever, go search in my home, go find the Trophim, whoever has the Trophim will be put to death. Why should they be put to death? Emesha timtza salahecha lo yichya. We'll put him to death. Why should he put him to death? Because that's the din. That a benoich is nera gala gezel. Benoich is nera gala all the shavim mitzvahs benoich. Even pachas from shavaputa. But the Zohar happens to be worth less than the shavaputa. It's also manu. But the Gemara says that the benoich is nera given on pachas from shavaputa. So Yaakov Avinu didn't realize. The pasuk says, v'lo yad yankiv ki Rachel genov asan. He didn't know that his wife Rachel had taken the trap and he wouldn't have said such a thing. But because he said it, even though it was a kila aschacham al tanai, it was a kila aschacham. Kilas chacham betoyes, nonetheless, a kilas chacham afilo al tanai miskayemes. So that's how the Medrash says. That's why Rachel died, because Yaakov gave this klala betoyes. The same as the bracha when Yitzchak gave a bracha betoyes to Yaakov, thinking that he was Esav. So bracha betoyes is also chal. So klala betoyes is also chal. Doesn't make a difference. Toyes is only mevatel something we need. We need das bailim. If I'm selling something, I'm buying something, I'm getting married, taking a neder, so you need das habaylim. Brach and the klal is up to the Rabbanu Shlom to give the brach and the klal. So that toys is not shaykh to be mevatel brach, is not shaykh to be mevatel klal. So that's how some midrashim understand the cause of the death of Rachel was because kilas chacham afilo al tanai miskayem. It's the klal of the toys that Yaakov Avinu gave. The Mishlam Melech has in the Sefer Parashas Drachim a whole discussion of another medrash that Rashi does not quote, that the cause of the death of Rachel was because Yaakov had violated Balti Acher. He had accepted a neder, Evan Azos or something, Matzebiye Beis Elokim. He's gonna make a Beis Hamikdosh. He's gonna make a Matzeva. He's gonna bring Karbonis there. And he spent so many years and he never went to bring the Karbonis there. He never made it into a Beis Elokim. So because he violated Baal Te'acher, the Medrash Rabbah says that's why his wife died, because we have a Gemara in the middle of Tzubis and in Shabbos, the Gemara says, Bavon Adorim, Ishto Shalora Mesa. If a person is no Devein Mekayim, the person pledges to give money to Tzedakah, and he doesn't fulfill it, so there's a pasuk in Kelis, Lama Yitach Mishkov Chamiv Tachtecho. Why should you cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have your wife die? Pay up your pledges. So in the context of paying up pledges, the pasuk says, "Lama yikach mishkav chamin tachtecha." Why should you cause your wife to die? So the Gemara has such an idea. So the Gemara says, Bavone darmish the shalada meisa, the wife will die. But the Gemara says by Bal Te'acher that how does the pasuk say? You see the net l'ashem l'kach l'asach l'shalma ki dori shirushan l'shalma l'kach me'imach v'hoi b'chochet. So the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah has a comment. V'hoi b'chochet v'lo b'ishtachochet. What does that mean v'lo b'ishtachochet? So the Pashup Shat Nigmar is that even though Baba Nadar Mishta Shalad Amez, if the husband violates his Nadar, this may cause that the wife should die. But if the husband ultimately does fulfill the Nadar, just that he's ma'acher, he violates Bal Te'acher, the wife will not die because of that. So the Mishnah Melech says, but this Medrash Rabbah says not so. That this verse, this opinion in the Medrash Rabbah says that the cause of death of Rachel was because Yaakov Avinu had delayed fulfilling his neder. So this Medrash Rabbah seems to be Chaylek Anad Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Hoy b'chochet v'lo b'ishto chochet. This Gemara holds that the Sholosh Regalim or the Shana Shleima, the Shurim for Bal Te'acher, are Shurim for Kiyam HaNeder. If a person took a neder to give tzedakah, a person took a neder to bring a carbon, and he delays, he postpones for a whole year, and then he finally brings the carbonus 2 years later, 5 years later. So there is the Rambam writes that he's mevatel the mitzvah sese mitzvah sesecha tishmar. So Rambam asks, where did he, Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs writes like that. If one violates Bal Te'acher, he's also in violation of mitzvah sesecha tishmar v'yosis. So the Rambam asks, it's against the Gemara. If violation of Bal Te'acher is the equivalent of violation of the neder, so why is it that ein ishta shalada meisa? If bavon and darim ishta meisa, so should be bavon Bal Te'acher also ishta should be meisa. If Bal Te'acher is the shear for the kiyam mitzvah of the neder, the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvah. So the Mishnah Melech defends the Rambam and the Sefer Parashas Drachim. He says no, the Rambam got it from this Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah says that the cause of death of Rachel was because Yankov violated Bal Te'acher, and Bal Te'acher is considered the Zman of the Neder. And if you violate Bal Te'acher, it's considered as if you didn't fulfill your Neder. Bottom line is we have to fulfill all the Nedarim. Okay. I will not be able to be here on Sunday, but the Neder on Monday morning I plan to learn, plan to be here.